to bring us the word.
Hey, I love your pastors. I'm a little partial to this church, and I've been with you now, I think it's my third time on a Sunday, and I love worshiping with you. Your energy and your passion are exuberant and dynamic. Was that me? Power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we're ready. So I want to give you what I think is a very, very clear prophetic word for this morning, but I want you to say a couple things out loud and a couple things to your neighbor. And one, I want you to say to your neighbor with the best voice of judgment you can come up with. Now, this shouldn't be hard if you put on your church voice. There's a difference between a Jesus voice and a church voice. Would you just say to somebody, you think too small?
You think too small.
Man. Whoa. Some of you guys are way too good at that. That is awesome. Would you say out loud with me, all of us together, in the voice of triumph? Now, I don't know what your personality style is. We're part of a charismatic Pentecostal tradition here. We shout just a little bit. And if you're not used to shouting at all, at least raise your voice enough to where someone might hear you.
Yeah.
And would you say out loud, in the best voice you can come up with, and if you need to shout and scream a little bit, you have my permission. Would you say I am free? Yeah, now some of you said that in a way that you actually sounded like you believed it, and you informed your faces to indicate that there might be some joy that would come with that. Some of you had not informed your faces yet, and although you said it, I couldn't tell there was the joy of the Lord that might be the substance to your life. I have now been, this January will be my 37th year of ministry.
Wow.
I started when I was 4. 37 years I have walked, enjoyed, wrestled, struggled, and seen God do some amazing things.
Amen.
And I want to walk with you through something this morning that is, I think, at the forefront of our struggle to break free.
Amen.
What keeps you and me from living the kind of life we could. Because if you're in Christ and if you're saved, if you came into Jesus, you are positionally, theologically, right now, absolutely, unequivocally free.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, most of you, experientially, in reality, do not know that.
Yeah.
And you don't live that way because somewhere in the noggin, your brain, in your heart is a lie, a fear that somehow keeps you trapped. Mm-hmm. An act of obedience that may be the one thing you need to do that would break the power of hell. So what if, Pastor Benjamin, you are one act of obedience away from your freedom and the breakout of the Holy Spirit in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
One act. Mm-hmm. I don't care whose act, one act.
Huh.
What if you're one act away?
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem for us. We all want to see God move in our land, right? If you're a Christian, we're all praying for God to do something, particularly in this election cycle. We are radically desperate. And what I love about this election cycle, I'm a hope guy. So I'm excited because neither candidate's the answer, so the church has to rise up in Jesus and be it, right?
Amen.
Which is a wonderful time for us.
Yeah.
This is the best time ever to be alive.
Yeah.
Because there are pagans and non-Christians everywhere. All you got to do is find a gospel rock, close your eyes, and throw it and you'll hit a non-Christian. It's a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all we need is the light to come up,
turn
on.
That's good.
But see, here's the problem. You think too small. What you said to each other, right? So the disciples had an absolute misunderstanding of what Jesus wanted to do. And so do most Christians in the 21st century. We are contending for something he's not in. He's got a new thing he's doing. And something he wants to break free from. So that you and I might see the fullness of his manifestation in our land, which is going to require from you and me. Something he wants to see in us. So in Acts chapter 4, I want to highlight this and then we'll dive in. Acts chapter 4, they've just been interrogated, Peter and John. And they come back to the group and they pray. And I love their prayer. I'm not going to read the text with you, but it begins about verse 23 of chapter 4 in Acts. And they culminate in this prayer, O Sovereign Lord, and they move down and say wonderful things. And they say this, they've been persecuted, they've been challenged, they've been threatened. And I love this line, it's one of my favorite lines. It speaks to my Jesus that wants to see the kingdom expand. And they say this, O Lord, would you give us boldness in the face of their threats? Would you match their threats with a greater boldness?
Amen.
Now, the American prayer, most of us is, Lord, would you take away the persecution? Would you stop? No, I'm not for suffering. I like America. I really do. I like it that our suffering is first world. I do. Saddened for third world struggles.
Yeah.
I'm not inviting suffering.
Yeah.
But would it be possible that you and I could become saints rather than praying for everything to be right circumstantially?
Huh.
That we would say, no matter what happens,
yeah,
would you give me boldness to match the threats and the lies of hell?
Amen.
All it takes is a handful of saints in this room,
yeah,
and this place called the Bay Area would be forever transformed. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. It only takes about 120 of you. That's all Jesus needed.
Yeah.
Change the world. And I think we could.
Yes,
I'm contending for it. And everywhere I go, I see little pockets of God moving. I have the privilege to work with lots of different groups in the United States, and God's moving. But he's moving in a way that you and I would not anticipate, because he's doing something to the hearts of his people that is far deeper than what most of us could ever imagine, far greater to set us free, to empower us with his might and his authority. And I want to walk you through that this morning. So here's the question. Do you want to get well? Do you want more?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
Yeah, let's find out. Married couple was in a terrible accident where a man's face was severely burned, and the doctor told the husband that they couldn't graft any skin from his body because he was too skinny. You can see where this one's going to go. So the wife offered to donate some of her own skin. However, the only skin on her body that the doctor felt was suitable would have to come from her buttocks. The husband and wife agreed that they would tell no one about where the skin came from, and they requested that the doctor also honor the secret. After all, this was a very delicate matter, and after the surgery was completed, everyone was astounded at the man's new face. He looked more handsome than he ever had before. All his friends and relatives just went on and on about his youthful beauty. One day he was alone with his wife, and he was overcome with emotion at her sacrifice. And he said, Dear, I just want to thank you for everything you have done for me. How can I possibly repay you? My darling, she replied, I get all the thanks I need every time I see your mother kiss you on the cheek. There are things in us that need to be removed for God to move, right? Would you stand with me as we take a look at John chapter 5? I'm going to read short the first 9 verses, short part of the text. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And one man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. Our tradition tells us that every day the waters would be stirred by an angel, and whoever was in the pool would be healed, the first in. That's the tradition. That's the backdrop, and that's the setting. One man who was there had been invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, said to him, Do you want to be healed? Someone say, that's insensitive. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's crippled. You're dying of cancer. You want to get well? It is an incredibly insensitive question, or is it? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. Someone say, poor me. I've been waiting for 38 years. Some of you have been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
No one will help me.
Yeah.
Now, we should help each other. We should be a community. All that's right. But there's something else going on here that we often miss, and it may be the basis by which you and I never enter into the fullness of what God has for us and the joy. Poor me. Jesus said to him, get up.
Amen.
Someone said, man, that's sensitive. Get up.
Yeah.
Take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, he took up his bed and walked. Do you want to get well?
Yes.
Say to someone, I want to get well.
I'll
do whatever he asks.
I'll do what's necessary
to get well.
Good,
because I'm going to tell you what that might be in just a moment. Have a seat. Do you want to get well?
Yes.
Leo Tolstoy said this. Man's whole life is a continual contradiction of what he knows to be his duty. In every department of life, he acts in defiant opposition to the dictates of his conscience and his common sense. Okay, let me just play with you for just a moment. How many of you floss every day? You don't need to raise your hand. You floss every day? Some of you. How many of you exercise regularly? How many of you make sure you stay away from those things that would affect your body, unhealthy calories? How many of you do pushbacks from the table and you exercise because you push back and push away because you want to make sure your consumption is in moderation? Yeah, Pastor Benjamin said his stomach gets too big and it pushes him back. Involuntary response. How many of you know that you probably should work less and maybe sleep more? How many of you know that some of you probably should sleep less and work more? How many of you know that you probably should sin less? Probably should love more. How many of you should forgive more? Now, you all know this, but you don't do it. Why? Why? It's not just a spiritual struggle that you and I have. It is a spiritual struggle at the core, but we all tend to know the things to do, but we don't do them. And then we wonder why we're 45 and 50 and 55 and our bodies fall apart. We wonder why when we're in our 40s and 50s on our second and third marriage. We wonder why life is all messed up and we need help because we end up doing the things a little bit of drink each night might help, and all of a sudden that little bit of drink becomes a lot of drink. We think maybe if I just had a companion, and then we give in to all of the things that this companion requires and we subvert our ideologies and our values and we end up doing the things God would never want us to do.
Yeah.
We all know that we're not supposed to do these things.
Yeah.
We still do them. Really hard to pass up a donut. I can do it 4 or 5 times, but if that thing's still there, I am going to consume it because it speaks to me. I don't know what happens, but those donuts and those things seem to know your name. Don't they? Now, nothing wrong with having a little. Our problem is we end up doing things we ought not do. I have spent the majority of my Christian life living out Paul's struggle, the things I know to do. I don't do.
Yeah.
And the things I want to do,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I struggle in this.
Yeah.
Where I should avoid, but I don't.
Yeah.
We do it every day of our lives.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how that plays in to the question, do you want to get well? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because see, we say it. Jesus, give me healing so that I can have a body that's restored, could eat any donut that's on the planet, never gain weight, never become a diabetic, march in the authority of Jesus. That's not how it works. I wish. Maybe in heaven you can have all the ice cream you want. Not here. not without a price.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
Someone say, help him. So too many Christians operate in a way that would suggest we don't understand the authority and the grace and the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Too many folks use their religion as they do a bus. They only ride it when it's gone their way.
Wow.
Okay. See, what I've learned, I've been in this thing a long time now. I'm an old man. I'm middle-aged and moving on the other side. I have struggled with understanding the ways of God, and that blasted bus that goes in directions I do not want to go.
Yeah.
I have misunderstood the direction, thinking that my God is cruel, he doesn't understand, and what I have failed to comprehend is the direction that he is going is the most life-giving direction that's possible.
Yeah,
the fullness
yeah.
of God awaits in that. It requires an act of from me that I need to obey and submit and get on that bus and go.
Yeah.
But like you and me, I won't floss. I won't get on. I'll try to do everything possible to make that happen. God wants spiritual fruit. He doesn't want a bunch of religious nuts.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what a religious nut is. A religious nut is someone who doesn't produce any fruit.
Yeah.
You can come in here and shout down the roof. You can shout
yeah.
down and you can scream and you can worship and you can even weep. But unless it translates into a life that is doing the thing God's asked you to do, you will live in an expression of worship and desire and a shout that will keep you in bondage, that will never allow the power and the freedom of God to move in your life. And that freedom that will bring freedom to others. So do you really want to get well?
Yeah.
Really? Because it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
If you want to do it. Now, I'm not talking about work. I'm not talking about you got to perform. Mm. I'm talking about something that you may have to let go of
yeah.
for this to happen and release. And something you may have to embrace for this to take place. Because
yeah.
God is interested in far more. He's an economical, loving Father that
yeah.
while he may heal your body, your situation, he's going to do something to your heart. And while he does something to your heart, he's going to do something to your family. While he does something to your family, he's going to do something to your neighborhood. And while he does something to your neighborhood, he's going to do something to the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God has a unique way of making one act bring life to many people.
Yeah.
But it's going to require of you.
Yeah.
Do you really want to get well?
Yeah.
Or do you want to play the religious Christian game the rest of your life, frustrated, die an old man or an old woman, wondering, will God ever do anything? You're kind of struggling all the way, hoping one day you'll get to heaven. This life hasn't been all that. I have done all that.
Wow.
It's nice to be in this thing for as long as I have and still just love Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice to wake up in the morning and know that he loves me. It's nice that I don't have to come here and hit it out of the park for you. It's nice to understand that it's not up to me to make all this work that in spite of our election cycle and the mess that we're in, oh God, help me figure something out to make this nation better. It's not up to me. All he's asking is something really simple.
Yeah.
Will you take up your pallet and walk, and do you really want to get well?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. But you can't ever walk until you acknowledge, I am willing to get well and break free from this little cycle that says, poor
me.
Yeah. It's never going to happen to me. I'm the one that's left out. I've sinned too much.
Yeah.
God doesn't care about me.
Yeah.
I'm the forgotten one. It is all a lie.
Yeah.
And Jesus shows up to this guy. No angel. Jesus. So do you want to get well? Just say it out loud with me. I want to get well. So healing requires then something of us. In order for us to move into this prosperity of spirit, this fullness of life, there's something God is asking of us. Something God wants us to release. Something God wants us to embrace. And this morning, I'd like to offer that to you. So what then? What is God asking of you? See, most of you who walk with the Lord, you are not clueless. Say out loud, I'm not clueless.
I'm not clueless.
You know what God's asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some of you are like, what? I don't know what he's asking. You do. You know what he's asking.
Yeah.
We avoid it. You do the exchange. I'll worship for an hour. I'll pray from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. If I could somehow smokescreen my spirituality where Jesus doesn't see that I really haven't exchanged it, somehow I'll impress him.
Yeah.
And he'll stop asking for it.
Yeah.
but you're crippled.
Yeah. Well.
You really want to get well? Or do you want to walk with a limp or stay on a bed, stay maimed, stay a spiritual invalid for the rest of your life without the joy? Just have moments of it. Not that you're not saved. You have little moments and it feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Or do you want to walk in the power and authority of our God and break out?
Yeah.
To where you're not bound to the things of this world anymore.
Yeah.
But you're bound to a voice that has set you free.
Yeah.
And you walk down into the corridors of hell unafraid of the demonic and unafraid of Satan himself to preach release to the captives.
Amen.
And to tell Satan for the rest of your life what you meant for evil.
Yeah.
My Father uses for good.
Yeah.
So in Jesus' name, up yours.
Yeah.
I know who my enemy is.
Yeah.
And I understand what God has been asking me all these years.
Yeah.
And I want you to know I did not give this up easily.
Yeah.
I fought. I kicked. I screamed. I'm stubborn. Anybody stubborn in this room?
Yeah.
And if you're married, I can just ask your spouse so, in case you're not raising your hand. I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
And I resisted.
Yeah.
And God has been asking all my life, I want one thing from you, son. I exchange a ton of stuff. Oh, I exchange a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a busy man.
Yeah.
I'm type A.
Yeah.
I'll work hard. I'm going to impress my Father. And God's like, "That's none of that impresses me because I'm already impressed by you.
Yeah.
You're working so hard to get into a room, son, you're already in.
Yeah.
Would you just sit down
yeah.
and give me this?"
Yeah.
Some of you know what
this
is.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, God's kind. You will never walk until you give up this. Not because God's holding out, because it's holding you back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's keeping you in bondage. So you and I got to figure out what this is and then let it go. So here's what the man's learning. You don't look to the act to fix you. The power isn't in the pool. Power isn't in the preaching of Pastor Benjamin, the song. The power isn't in the charismatic Pentecostal moment. The power is in Jesus.
Yeah.
See, Pentecostals have a problem. We get all excited about the experience and the signs.
Yeah.
It's as ridiculous as driving on the road and seeing Santa Clara, 37 miles, and a bunch of people standing at the sign, all excited at the sign. That's absolutely ridiculous. Why are you guys all going, "Hallelujah, look, 37 miles. That's stupid." Someone say stupid.
Stupid.
The signs point you to Jesus.
Yeah.
All the gifts, everything we do point us to Jesus. Unless we get to Jesus, it's all a crock.
Yep.
So it's not the sign.
Yeah.
It's not the act.
Yeah.
It's Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is asking something of you, and this man thought it was in the pool.
Yeah, right.
The angel's going to come and stir it. And I'm trying to get there. And there's other people that apparently could move better. Other people had people to help them. They got in. And somehow they apparently got healed. There was something miraculous, but not for this guy. Not for this guy.
Yeah.
This guy needed to understand that there was something more.
Yeah.
The act for this man is the backdrop. It's to the provision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's something he needed to do.
Yeah.
Healing won't come the way I'm talking about it this morning unless you and I respond in faith and act.
Amen. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
The angel says to Gideon, I love this because Gideon's whining and complaining. You ever felt weak? Maybe you do right now.
Yeah.
And if you understand what the Israelites are doing at the moment, they're hiding out and they're stomping and making grapes in a cave, and they don't want to be seen by the Midianites, so they're eking out an existence. You ever felt like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to survive, Pastor. Just trying to make it till heaven. And so they're stomping on the grapes. The angel comes, and he calls them out, "Almighty warrior." What? You know who you're talking to? I mean, I'm from a little tiny clan, smallest one.
Yeah.
Do you understand where I'm at? I'm hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty warrior?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say I'm a mighty warrior?
Oh,
good for you. So there's one. Say, I'm a mighty warrior. See, the problem is you and I don't believe it. Neither did Gideon.
Yeah.
And I love what the angel says. How am I going to do all this? Where's all the promises we've given to our fathers? You know the line. I've been struggling. My mom and dad saw it. Pastor Benjamin sees it. No, I'm not getting it. And the angel says, I want you to go. And he says this, go in the strength you have.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, go in the strength you have.
Yeah,
yeah. And I know. You're saying, I got no strength.
I know. Yeah.
And the angel says, am I not with you? Go. See, we fail to understand that we are already, unequivocally, positionally, even experientially, at this moment, right now, free.
Amen.
Yeah.
You are free.
Amen.
But there's something in your brain right now that says, Pastor, you don't know my situation. If I could explain it to you, you would understand why I need you to pick me up and carry me in the pool.
Yeah.
No, son. Sweetie, you just need to get up.
Yeah.
Until you do, you're going to be forever frustrated, and you're going to think God doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
He does. He wants you to get up.
Yeah.
But we won't. I shared this to the retreat. I think we were at the young adult retreat last summer, and this is that weird bondage thing we get into at where we're set free, and we get broken out of the prison cell, and all the chains fall off, and somewhere in our journey, we walk back in and put the chains back on and close the prison door, right?
Yeah.
And then you cry out for deliverance, and God, heal me. Mm-hmm. And here's what God's going to say to you. I can't re-deliver you. You're already delivered. Just take the chains off and open the door and walk out.
Yeah.
I need someone to open the door. But no, you don't. Just walk out. Yeah. You didn't think an Asian guy could do that, did you? Door! Yeah, it's like, yes, we can. I got a little black man in me somewhere, so he's not, can't last very long, but he can be in there. See, I think, and I've been learning, we are way more free than we realize. And if you and I could get a hold of this, God would do some amazing, amazing things for us. Take it back. We used to live in the Bay Area, 2005. My wife got deathly sick one night, and I'm thinking she's going to die. My wife is a tough woman. She would have to be to stay married to me. She is. I'm a piece of work, and I know it, and she has loved me, and I am grateful. We're going on 34 years, and I am still in love. So, we got it going, so it's good. So I like it when the kids go to bed still. It's still good. We may be a little slower on the tape, but it's still the tape. Yeah, it's still there. It's the love of God that's in our lives. So some of you are like, please stop. 2005, she's deathly sick, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, something's wrong. So we end up taking her to the hospital. It ends up being gallbladder she has to have removed. Not an issue, right? 9 days we're in the hospital. Someone say 9 days.
9 days.
Now, I don't know how you are with patients and when your loved one is hurting. I was running out.
Wow.
My Jesus was getting really small.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a minor surgery technically.
Yeah.
Couple days? 9 days. So let me walk you through what God was doing. Because, see, I failed to understand what God was asking of me.
Mm.
I'm asking for miracles.
Yeah.
Aren't you? Power. Aren't you? And God says, I'm going to give it to you in a way that I wasn't looking for.
Oh.
Because, see, the bus went 9 days, and I didn't want to ride that bus.
Yeah.
So we're day four. We're in our third room. Third roommate, she's 73. She's an African-American woman. She's dying. I don't care. You understand?
Yeah.
I do, but I don't care. Glory. I overhear them talking. How can you not? It's in a hospital room. I said, Grandma's dying. She's in a coma. She's gone. She's just about gone. And I'm over there frustrated, trying to get my wife in surgery. She's groaning. She's in pain. I'm hearing it like, God, you got this. I don't care. I'm trying to work. I'm worried about my wife.
Yeah.
And then they say, does anybody know a pastor?
Oh.
I'm not working right now. You understand? Now, that you're not supposed to do that. I'm like, it's not working. I'm not. I don't care. Somebody. Anybody know a pastor? And then finally, I know a friend who knows a friend who's got a cousin. They bring a pastor in. It's about an hour later, and I'm like, fine. And this guy walks in. He means well, and he prays this horrible prayer. Now, I mean horrible. And it was a prayer that kind of went like this. Father, we just accept your will. You take our sister home. They're all crying. So he's accepting death. I understand the prayer of comfort. I get all that. I'm like, that's the most pathetic prayer possible. She's dying. Somebody ask God to bring her back to life. I'm not doing it. So, one thing. So finally, God appeals to my passionate, slight ego, irritation. Come on, brother, you got to do better than that personality. He's done, and I'm like, I've had it. I said, sweetie, hold on just a second. I got to go show him how to pray. So I peeked my head around the corner. I said, I am so sorry to eavesdrop, but I did hear that your grandma's dying. Could I pray for her? And, of course, they're all like, yes, you know, please. This guy, like, prayed death. So I come around, and I have a word of the Lord that I have for this sister, and I whisper in her ear with authority.
Yeah.
Please understand, with authority.
Yeah.
It's not your time yet. Yeah. And now, I don't know if she's a Christian or not. I just say that to her.
Yeah.
And I said something prophetic to the daughters, and I don't remember what it was. They all start crying. And they said, my mom is a Christian. We are not. Would you pray for her? And I said, she's not going to die. I prayed over her. Jesus' name, amen. So I'm done. About all the faith I had, I'm like, whatever. So I go back to my wife. This is the sad part. I'm pretty much thinking she's going to die. You ever had faith like that?
Yeah.
I did it. Showed the guy how to pray. And of course, I didn't. This wasn't one of my best moments, because as I was done praying, I looked at the brother and I said, that's how you do it. I mean, and walked off. Not one of my best moments. So I'm still irritated at the hospital, so I'm taking it out on my brother. So they wheel her out, a bunch of commotion. I'm like, oh, man, she died. Wow, you know, that's about it. Yeah. 2 days later, we're in another room. I walk in, and my wife says, Deb called. Who's Deb? It's the daughter of the lady you prayed for. I'm thinking, oh, she's going to tell me she died. She said, Deb is in shock. She said, she told me about the commotion. Did you hear the commotion after your husband prayed for my mom? Oh, yeah, we heard the commotion. My mom sat up.
Wow.
She's alive.
Wow.
We are not Christians, but we're going to go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, I said to my wife, well, of course the Lord will do that. Pray a prayer of faith. God's going to move. Do you really want to get well? 9 days so we could meet her.
Wow.
It was on day 4. And I realized, oh, my goodness, if I really want to do what you want,
yeah,
I got to get on the bus that you're driving.
Wow.
And I got to go the direction you're going.
Yeah.
And I got to die to the weirdness that's in me, which means I got to stop waiting for people to carry me into a pool.
Yeah.
And I need to simply take my pallet and get up. And I wasn't in the best frame of mind. So I love God's grace.
Yeah.
I want to show you something.
Yeah.
So, living hope, if you want to see God move and you want healing in your life, what's the one thing he's asking you? See, some of you need to forgive somebody.
Yeah.
You're not going to move forward until you do.
That's true.
This is not a conditional love. It's a conditional release.
Yeah.
You're already released.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you is you're in a prison cell in your own bondage. Once you do the act, you can go free. Some of you need to let go of some things you've trusted in, and you just need to get back to Jesus. And when you do, God will bring some deep, deep healing to you and release you so that you can walk in freedom. And when you finally get to that place, which I am learning to live in nowadays, when God just begins to move, I'm just learning to put my heart in this really soft state, so when the Spirit of God begins to blow, I just go with Him.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to live, saints, because there are life and miracles and things that happen. Arranged appointments for you that you have never planned to be set up.
Yeah.
And God leads you into these places. And signs and wonders and miracles happen because you are going the way of your Father. And the best part of it is you are walking. You are well. You are whole. So do you want to get well? Really? Because if you do, you're going to have to take up the pallet. You're going to have to walk. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to pray with you. Pastor Benjamin, come on back up, brother. 2 Kings chapter 5. I have never shared this story publicly, so I'm going to share it. I've only shared it privately. I was 13. I had a visitation from the Lord. I thought it was a real visitation. It was a dream. The Spirit of God was in my bed, came on my ceiling. I was radically converted, by the way. My mom was Buddhist. My dad was a devout alcoholic. And so I was a mess. This beam of light then came over the ceiling and came on my head. And power ran through my body that I don't have the words to describe. Unfortunately, I've done some things in the world that would cause my body to feel things. This was far superior to anything I've ever ingested, anything I've ever taken in. Release. A voice spoke to me off to my right that I can't put into words. A voice of authority, a voice of gentleness, a voice of power. It thundered, it whispered, and it said, "Mike." You know, I love hearing my name. I don't know, when you hear God call your name,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm 13. "Mike, you have my power to heal." Now, I was in Pentecostal tradition. I'm going to be the Asian Oral Roberts. I have a gift of faith, and if you don't know who Oral Roberts is, he had a great healing ministry. That's what I thought I was going to do. I have a gift of faith, so I can pray for people, but not a lot of people are getting well. So I thought, oh man, I must be doing it wrong. So you got to get the right style and crossover and whatever. Right. Didn't help. Shout a little more, pray harder, believe more. I was 26 years old, sitting on a couch in Southern California when God said, "Son, you have misunderstood this. Let me tell you what this is. Look at your life. And what has my hand done? I have given you power to heal the heart of broken people. And when they are around you, they get well." Oh, wow, that's pretty cool, and I don't really like that one. Man, that means I got to be involved with people. Oh, gosh, really? I kind of like the healing thing, and you go away shouting, and I don't see you again. I mean, I got to walk with Benjamin? Oh. So over the years, I've come to understand what that is. Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. He wants to get rid of his leprosy. And the prophet says, "Go to this horrible river and dunk yourself 7 times. Doesn't even come out. It's like you go see Pastor Benjamin and he sends someone. Go do this. Who do you think you are? Really? Do you not know who I am? See, I think Naaman would not have experienced the healing without some encouragement, without doing the act. See, here's what I think happens. Here's what happens to you. That first dip came up. Pride went away. Second dip, anger.
Yeah, it's good.
Third dip, fear.
Yeah.
Envy.
Yeah.
So on.
It's good.
By the seventh dip, when his skin was now clean,
yeah,
so was his heart.
Yeah, it's
good. God wants to rid you of things here. The reason you do the act is because here. What's your heart? So if you let that go, something happens to your heart and changes everything. So I'm going to ask you to just, can we sing a song? Got a song? But I'm going to ask you to come forward. Now, what's the one thing you think God's asking you to do? Would you come forward? Now, nothing special up here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pray over you. I just want you to do what God's going to ask you to do.
Yeah.
And would you come up here and acknowledge, I know what that is? And would you start to take up your pallet and walk?
Yeah.
Would you just do it today? Because, see, I think if you did it, I think a whole bunch of you could walk out of here free.
Yeah.
I do. Not just because you're emotional. No, I believe this stuff. I think you could walk out of here free. And if you walk out of here free, you are joy-filled and incredibly dangerous to hell, which is what I think God has called Living Hope to be.
Yeah.
A passionate, crazy, over the top, in love with Jesus and each other, willing to do whatever God asks in the Bay Area and the world, saints. You speak it, Father, we'll do it.
Amen.
So do you want to get well? Really? Then do what he's asked you to do. Take up your pallet and walk. Dip 7 times and let the stuff fall off. And I can tell you as a man who's dipped 7 times, there's nothing like the freedom.
Yeah.
Bitterness, fear, and envy, just kind of gone, and not really there. Enjoying the love of my God and wanting to help set his people on a course of freedom. Believing that it's possible and the time is now for the Church of America to stand up and say to Satan, no more. No more. So we sang, Matthew leads us through a song. Would you just come and deal with that? And then I want to do one little benediction blessing over you before we end out. Let's do it.